And welcome to our short week version of Chiefs Live. Mitch Holtis with you along with the snapper, 15 years of Pro Bowl long snapper, best ever played the position in league history, Kendall Gammon. Now, you're going a little weird on me.
I'm going crazy this week. I didn't shave. It's untucked. I don't have a belt on. It's time to get after the bully.
Did you show us belly button?
You know what? I don't care. The pants are down a little bit. It doesn't matter. The belt's not on. You know what? You got to throw caution to the wind. You don't care what's going on this week. You just go and you find a way to win. You go against the bully who came in here several weeks back. Chiefs coming off a win with New Orleans, feeling pretty good about themselves. And then San Diego comes in here. They stole not only the lunch pail, but they took our lunch money. We were going to get that nice sugar cookie. Things were going good. It didn't happen. Well, you know what? Now that bully's lost three straight games. You're going into their place. You need to plant that seed of doubt. And what I'm getting at is you've just got to not worry about what anybody else thinks, about anything else that's going on. You got to go do your job. Whatever happens, however you got to get it done, it doesn't matter. You scramble, you go low, you do anything. It's time to get a win.
Okay. 1-6 does a lot of things to a lot of people, but you just went belly button on us.
I did.
And I'm thinking of Will Ferrell as Big Earl in the movie Starsky and Hutch going, it's going to get weird. Two dragons. All right, let's get to the matter at hand. And it is a short week. The Chiefs lose to the Raiders 26-16. Immediately have to play Thursday night at Qualcomm Stadium against the San Diego Chargers, who are hurting. They have not won a game since they beat the Chiefs on September the 30th. But the news of today was an announcement by Romeo Crennel, because remember, Brady Quinn left the game early against Oakland with a head injury. Here's the announcement on what will happen at quarterback Thursday night.
Brady Quinn and Nate Eaches have been ruled out of this game Thursday, so both of those guys will not play. They will continue with their testing and evaluation, and they will return when the doctor releases them and says, and he lets us know that they're okay. Castle will be the quarterback. Stanzi will be the backup. And I know you might have to ask some questions, but I'm not dealing with hypotheticals. I'm concentrating on the game Thursday and what we need to do to try to win the game.
Talk about Matt. I mean, you wanted Quinn to kind of give you a little spark when you made the change. Matt kind of gets a reprieve. Can you talk about what you think he can bring? And sometimes is a second chance?
Well, yes. Sometimes a second chance energizes a guy. I think that Matt is a team guy. He's a Chiefs. He wants the team to do well. And whatever role that he was in, even, you know, hey, he didn't like it. But he said, I'm going to do my job, I'm a Chief, and I'm going to be ready to play if I'm called on. And that's the way he prepared during the week, all right? I think that that's the way he's going to prepare this week, that he's a Chief, he knows that he's going to have to play, and he's going to go do the best that he can. We have to help him as well, and if we all take the same attitude, then we will play a good game on Thursday.
Well, you can look for any word you want to describe this. There's some irony here. Matt had a head injury, of course, earlier in the month. He loses the job. Brady comes in. Now he's got a head injury, so Matt's back at quarterback. So a couple things here to think about. Your thoughts. Matt is less than a month from having a head injury. Right. Now he gets this second chance. But what dynamic does this present for the football team?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I thought that Romeo alluded to it in terms of this is a guy that maybe he's getting that second chance, wants to prove something. I thought when he came into the game, he did some good things. Obviously, he's played most of the games this year being the starter, so there's not going to be any issues with him in the first team O. So it will be interesting. You know, I think something that's being lost a little bit is the fact of losing Eaches, and now you don't have a fullback on the team. I would assume, don't quote me, I would assume you're just going to use a tight end in that position if that's what you choose to do, but for the most part, you're not going to have a fullback, so that changes the dynamics. It doesn't mean that you can't do some things. You've just got to figure out how you're going to do them. It speaks to my point earlier. It doesn't matter what you do or how you do it. Just go in there and try to get the job done and not worry about what anybody else is going to say or do, because a lot of people have really written the Chiefs off. It's those guys in the locker room right now. They have to rally. They have to get together. I've been there, and it's no fun, but they've got to do it. They've got pride. I know several of those guys. Several of them were my teammates, and I feel like they'll respond very well. But, yeah, it's interesting with Matt. And now the other thing you've got, And Romeo said he wasn't going to play hypotheticals, and certainly you don't. But the fact is, you've got a QB that's never seen regular season time, and Stansy being your backup, if something did happen, and let's not forget, Castle did have a head injury that kept him out for a little while and took him out of the position, so a lot to deal with.
Less than a month ago.
Exactly right, a lot to deal with, but you know what, that's been the Chiefs' season this year, is a lot to deal with.
Yeah, and you mentioned the fullback would have to be filled by a third tight end. You hope you get Maniri back. Looks like that you would, so you want Maniri and O'Connell and Moyaki.
Right.
If that's the way you're going to play. You could go a lineman there. We've seen the Chiefs do that in the past. They did a lot of tackle over tackle in the game against Oakland, where Donald Stevenson was on the shoulder of primarily Winston on the right side. All right, let's take a look back at the Oakland game. Another disappointment. Not going to blow smoke at you. But it started off like this was going to be a different kind of day. When Stanford Rout got this pick on Oakland's first play from scrimmage and gave Kansas City great field position, it looked like it was going to be the Chiefs' day. Your thought? You're down there on the sideline. What was it like?
You know, I was just so excited because we finally got started off on the right foot. But then when you get to this play and you let Denarius Moore get a catch and a big run of 58 yards and, you know, leads to an Oakland field goal, that's not something you need going. And then you get the interception as well from this side. It just kind of floats up there. You're not sure what was going on. Really, really frustrating.
Yeah, incredibly frustrating. And then in the second quarter, Matt Castle has to come back in. So here's where the irony comes into play. But the Chiefs get something going here a little bit. They got into some rhythm. And then they went Wildcat, which I like, where Dexter McCluster was able to pick up the first down, Bo with a good downfield block. And then they were able to get later a 46-yard pass play to Dwayne Bo. This is the longest pass play of the year for Kansas City, and it set up a field goal.
You're right, and I like the fact, number one, as far as the Wildcat, doing something differently. I think you want to do that this week as well. Then again, Castle came in there, and he looked really good. I felt like he delivered the ball on time, stepped up in the pocket, you know, right there. Getting a few low snaps, things weren't going his way. He didn't let him fluster him. He stood in there in the pocket and made the throws. Right there, Moyaki taking a pretty big hit. But you know what? When you get to this play right here with the fumble punt, that's just something that's really, really tough to recover from. And it's like, of all the things you script, you don't think that one's going to be it.
No, and it's going to be 6-6 at least going to halftime. Or you might go down and try to take a league, but you're going to get the ball to start the third quarter. You had back-to-back possessions. Instead, this happens, and Denarius Moore is turning into a heck of a player in this league, able to get the touchdown to go 13-6. Totally changed the complexion of the game and the psychology of the game, and that psychology went way south on this play because then it became two possessions.
Well, you're right, and you talked about it earlier in the year in terms of the boulder starts rolling down the hill, and it started rolling down the hill fast, and you have that fumble, and just you can't get any things. I mean, when you've got things like this going on where you're having to scramble out of the pocket, you get it. It's a nice throw, but you're not able to get any rhythm. I mean, you get a few nice plays. You see Hillis doing some good things downfield, but the Chiefs were never able to really string some things together.
By the way, Richard Seymour is out of the game at this point. They're resting him. And so they put Bryant in, and that's where they hit the Hillis play because Richard Seymour was tough to block. Then Reston, who hasn't had a catch in a month, drops this one, losing his footing. But Suckup is competing for this team. This is a tough 52-yarder. When you get into late October, your thoughts on a kicker trying to compete to help his team?
That's impressive because it's cool down there. The ball's not compressing as well. 52 yards is about his limit. I saw him hit from 53 in pregame, but again, that's pregame. And he knows that points are precious, far and few between, so even more pressure in my mind. But again, not enough because they answer back with this touchdown, as you see right there.
And then Seabass does his thing. We've seen him do it over and over. However, you had him miss a 37-yarder, and Jaleel Brown jumps offside. That's when I think I've seen it all this year.
That encapsulates it. When he finally misses one from inside the 30, or inside the 40 rather, you have a penalty. You know he's not going to miss the second one, that's for certain. But you know what, you see a few bright spots here. McCluster showed up during the day, did some good things. Then unfortunately it was plays like this which led to the QB position being the leading rushing position for the day.
The Chiefs end up getting a touchdown here late, but they get a decent drive here, Moyaki. Their wide receiver screen for the touchdown. We'll show you the downfield blocking later, but this is a pick where, again, he's under duress. This looks like a wrong route or communication issue.
Yeah, you're right. I saw Matt go up to Jonathan on coming off the field, and there was some miscommunication, some frustration. They were getting it worked out. But, again, those are the kind of things that by this time in the season need to be worked out. And as you see, 26-16, not even – you're just barely getting 300 yards. It's rough. I mean – you don't want to say that. But when it comes down to it, exactly,
go to the
turnover.
Of the page.
Minus three. I mean, and you're minus 18 for the year. Those are epic proportions, quite honestly.
We try to be positive. We try to, you know, we believe in this franchise and this team. That's 25 giveaways. 25.
Right.
And you bring up many times the giveaway points.
Right.
That was the Oakland game.
Yeah.
The giveaway points.
You're exactly right. They scored 13 points off of giveaways. That's it right there. If you hold on to the ball, again, if you don't make some of those mistakes, if you capitalize on the interception early in the game and maybe get on the board, again, we've got to talk about it because it's the truth. Chiefs still have not led in a game, and you would like to see them have a chance to play with the lead and see how that goes.
Well, the Chiefs have got to show some mental and physical toughness. If nothing else in San Diego, a goal of being even in turnovers or plus, because they've talked about it. Romeo's
right.
expressed his frustration because they do try to emphasize and talk about it, but it's still happening. This is the most alarming stat that we can give you. Minus 18 in the giveaway takeaway ratio. 31st in the league is Dallas, and we know what they've had trouble with Romo
right.
throwing picks. They're still seven ahead of Kansas City in this category.
Well, you know, it's crazy. And what that leads to is when you look at your points off a turnover ratio, the Chiefs off of turnovers have given up 87 points, and they've scored only 16. And seven of that was the fumble slash interception with a blocked punt versus Tampa. So to that degree, the defense has only forced, two turnovers where it led to two field goals. So, again, not what you're looking for. I guess three, rather.
Well, it's 10 touchdown difference. Think
right.
about it. You're just handing the opponents 10 touchdowns, a sprinkle over 7 weeks, leads to 1-6. Now, the player reaction in the locker room, again, that feeling of frustration, this locker room wants so badly to get into the win column, but the Oakland game was just another tough one to take.
Thing you didn't expect.
I know what we worked on all week is what Oakland did. We just have to find a way to keep the ball rolling, and at this point, we have to just keep grinding, no matter what.
How frustrating it is. I mean, a fumbled snap, just some crazy things mm-hmm. happen. Almost sometimes things you can't script.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like what can go wrong does go wrong.
Yeah, it hasn't been on our side lately, with the tip deflections, with the penalties, with the fumble. We just have to find a way to just stay focused, man, and just play through it all.
I'm fine physically. You know, that it was we knew that going in it was going to be a tough physical football game. That last hit I took, in the fourth, he got me pretty good when he picked me up. But at the same time, you kind of dust yourself off and everything was in place. So let's get back at it.
What about the game itself?
It was one for mixed emotions for me. I knew that the team was ready to play. And all of a sudden, I got called on to play, and I told everybody I'd be ready to go, and I felt like I was. I competed today. Unfortunately, again, we had some turnovers, and we can't do that. We've got to continue to get through that. We got to somehow take care of the ball and do a better job of communicating with each other and get it done.
There's nobody in here that's losing confidence. Like I said, obviously we don't want to be where we are right now. But as far as I'm concerned, as long as this isn't the last game of the season, there's still hope. And there's still room to fight. So nobody in this room is going to hang their head. It is what it is. My mom told me some days it'll be like this, some days it won't. And we're just going to come back and fight, plain and simple. Back to work.
Okay, there are examples of players who are personifying on the field what Stanford Rout was talking about. And I want to ask you about Derek Johnson. You're down on that sideline during the games.
Mm-hmm.
He was all over the place against the Oakland Raiders, and I thought he gave a winning performance. What was your thoughts?
Well, you're right. I was fortunate enough to be a teammate of Derek's, and I've watched him mature and grow, not only physically, athletically, but emotionally as well. And to go out there when things aren't going that well, making some great hits like you see right here. But he was all over, running sideline to sideline, doing some good things right there, getting the read and getting into the backfield, had a couple big tackles for loss. Those are the type of things that you want your middle linebacker to do. And he's that guy. He's got the green dot in his helmet. He's who the coach is communicating to. He's who the defense is looking at in that huddle. He's doing a good job, and I applaud him for what he's doing right now.
And he's consistent. You see it week after week. Getting on the plane on a short week, we're going to get to that after the break, how tough it is on these players, not just Kansas City, but San Diego's and the rest of the leagues. But when Derek Johnson gets on the plane and when he runs on the field at Qualcomm, you've got a pretty good idea what you're going to get.
Well, you're right. And I talked to Derek after the game, and that is this week they're practicing, but it's more a mental week, and he talked about that. Physically, you're not going to do anything with pads on. You're just going to try to get your assignments down. The one good thing is the fact that you've played San Diego before, so you know them, you know what's going on, and you can take some of that game plan to heart. But the fact is you just got to get ready to play, you know, 3 days later, 4 days later. That's different.
Yeah, and in fact, you have a great chat with him that if you're listening to the radio pregame show, maybe you're driving home from work Thursday or you want to hear that. You had a great chat with him that's a must listen with you and Derek Johnson. All right, let's talk about the Chargers here. They're coming off a 7-6 loss to the Cleveland Browns in a weather-affected game in Cleveland. But this is a San Diego team now that is bleeding. They have not beaten a team since they beat Kansas City here on September the 30th. Let's just go back to the mindset before the San Diego game. I want to ask you about this. Chiefs were coming off the great rally against New Orleans. There was a great feeling at 9 a.m. on that September the 30th Sunday because this was a time the Chiefs could go 2-2.
Right.
We'll get to it after the break. But San Diego now has gone through a similar set of circumstances because their season is hanging in the balance. What do you see in San Diego a month after the Chiefs have played them?
Well, you know what? I talked about it, and this was my thesis for today, is they were the bully, but eventually they get exposed for what they are. It's happened several years. And you know, you say, Kendall, are you getting on them? No, I'm saying what they are. They're the bully, but eventually they seem to break down, and that's what the Chiefs need to do. But they've got to be questioning themselves and what's going on, having lost these last three games, and certainly this last game against Cleveland where they failed to even score a touchdown. That gets in your psyche. There's no doubt about it.
In fact, they went through a span and they were outscored 42 unanswered points before they got some field goals from Nick Novak in that game. We come back, we're going to break down the game a little bit further and talk about one of the most difficult things, in my opinion, an NFL player, an NFL coach has to deal with, and that is trying to play again in a span of basically 96 hours. We'll have that when we come back.
I pull up to the game, and all I smell is barbecue. I see everybody with their jerseys on, just out tailgating. Everybody's yelling, honking their horns in their cars, offering me barbecue on the way before the game. I mean, everybody's just friendly. I mean, it's just a wonderful city to play football in, man. Our fans are good in the stadium and out of the stadium. They just treat everybody with respect, and you gotta love that. This city is built like a family. This is a great place to be, and I love it.
Women, 40 years and older.
84.3%.
More women. Women, 40 years and older, are getting mammograms, which can save their lives.
84.3%. That is the average survival rate for Kansas and Missouri.
More women are battling this disease, and the survival rate is rising.
Help continue the trend. Join the Kansas City Chiefs, Hy-Vee, and the University of Kansas Cancer Center and schedule a screening today. It can save your life.
With the 65 TPT crew to show the world what tailgating is about. Let me know through Twitter or Facebook why our cameras should come to your tailgate.
If you're chosen, your tailgate will be featured on kcchiefs.com so the world can party with you. But remember, you have to make room for one more on the menu.
Chiefs tailgating, baby!
I tell my friends, you know, the fans in Kansas City are just very loyal and passionate about football. There's nothing like it. You know, when I run into Chiefs fans, they're just so energetic about the Chiefs, and they want you guys to do good, and, you know, that's something for me and my teammates to play for.
All Welcome back to our Chiefs Live short week show as Kansas City now, after losing to Oakland on Sunday, has to go to San Diego. Kendall and I will be on the plane as we head out tomorrow to Southern California. The Chiefs taking on the Chargers. I want to ask you about this. You played in this league for 15 years. And we had Ryan Lilge on the Kingdom show last night. How difficult is it, not just for the Chiefs here, let's talk about the whole league. How difficult is it to play a 3 o'clock game Sunday, tough physical division game, and then you've got to somehow reboot the computer 96 hours later and play again?
Well, you're right, and let's not forget also, I know it's just 3 hours, but the Chiefs did play a later game, so that's an issue as well. But it's tough because, you know, I've talked to a lot of the guys, and normally you don't start to really feel normal until midday, end of the day on Thursday, yet you're going to be on the field playing a game. So it is an issue. You're doing everything you can. You're in the hot tub. You're in the cold tub. You're going back and forth. You're getting treatment. You're trying to get your mind together. And you're not doing anything physically except staying loose, getting that lactic acid out of your muscles so you're ready to go play a game and perform on Thursday night. And it is difficult. Let's make no mistake about it. But the fact is San Diego has to deal with it as well.
You can be mentally as tough as you want. But there, you mentioned lactic acid. This comes into a physiological issue,
exactly,
doesn't it,
right,
at some point? So, I mean, to me, I'm perplexed by it, really, that it's not a Thanksgiving Thursday.
Right.
It's every Thursday night the league's asking guys to play on this quick turnaround. I just think it's a lot to ask of these guys.
Well, I agree it is. But when it comes down to it, people want to see football, and it's made for a good time. So I understand that to agree. Most everybody's got to deal with it in one way, shape, or form. I say most everybody, quite a few rather. But yeah, it's an issue. But you know what? That's what I say is you don't worry about that. You don't worry about anything that anybody's going to think. You're going to go. You want to go hit the bully in the mouth and not worry about anything else going on. Find a way to get your job done and get a win.
You're on this bully thing, aren't you?
I am.
You didn't shave. You showed us belly button.
Absolutely.
You went Big Earl on us.
I did. There's no belt. It's crazy.
I sat behind you on the plane. Should I fear something here?
I don't know. It's cats and dogs living together. Mass hysteria. It's going to be crazy. But you know
what?
Man, that's the mindset. You've got to go. You've got to throw caution to the wind. It doesn't matter. People have written you off for dead when you're talking about the Chiefs. The only people they have right now, besides the great Chiefs fans, is the people inside that locker room. Again, I've been there, and you've got to rally within, and I think that's something that they can do.
It's one of the most difficult things to do in all of sport is to react in these circumstances. It's also difficult. We've talked about lactic acid. We've talked about, hey, this is physiological. This is mental. We got some reaction in the locker room. How are these guys going to handle a short week?
It's a really short week. Today's like a typical Thursday already. So good thing we play the Chargers obviously a lot, and we've played them recently. So we know them well. We know their personnel well, which I think gives us a jump start compared to playing a team we don't normally play. So I think not an easy transition, but certainly not impossible.
It's a short week, so we gotta learn the installment quicker, and we need to get our bodies right for Thursday.
I think anytime you lose a ball game, you want to get to the next one as fast as possible. So Sundays are playing on Thursdays after a Sunday game are always a little different. I think, especially for young guys, I've played in one. I think almost every year I've been in the league except my first year. So it's a quick week. You got to jam everything in. I think the good thing is we're playing a division game, in the sense you know them pretty well, and we've already played them already too. So you got that game to look back on, see what they did to us, and you just got to jam everything in, and you got to absorb it, and get your body ready to play and go play.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you are what you are. We're 1-6 right now, and we've got some stuff to fix. And unless we do that, we'll struggle. But we work hard every single day. We're going to work to fix it. We identify the things that we need to do. We're going to go out there and try to do it.
You know, sometimes you know what position you'll be in. Obviously, this week's a little different, with Brady being a little questionable. So just trying to get ready and, be prepared to be the second guy. And if you got to step in, be ready to lead the guys and not let anything, slack by being in there.
San Diego, Thursday, that's not a whole bunch of time to get ready for whatever.
Yeah. It is helpful that we have played them already so that we have some tape on them. We just got to execute our game plan, and that's got to be our main focus, is to get a good day, a couple of days of preparation, and then, go down there and be ready to play.
And Stanzi Nation, which was all over training camp in St. Joe, wakes up again because he's now in the vice president's role. Those who are involved with the National Football League every minute of every day during a season, and we're the same, We're creatures of habit. Monday morning is this. Monday afternoon is this. Monday night is this. Tuesday morning is this. All throughout the week. Players are creatures of habit. Ryan Lilja talked about it last night on the Chiefs Kingdom show. When you're a creature of habit and you're faced with this scenario, how do you react?
You know what? You've got no choice but to react the best you can. And you're right. There's a lot of different things because you're not only playing 96 hours later, it's the fact that you're playing in the evening, and that's something that the Chiefs haven't done as well. It's, I think, a 7:30 start here, so 5:30 start there. Again, that's 2 hours later than what you'd played your latest game already. So, again, something that's you've just got to deal with. You can't do anything about it, and you've got to get yourself in that mental state of mind. And I think you've got to start. You should have started the minute the game was over and understand that, okay, that game's over with Oakland. Now it's time to go to San Diego and understand that you're going to play on a Thursday.
And for coaches, it's a huge challenge, too, in this league. They pull all-nighters because basically a group that puts in 80 to 90 to sometimes 100-hour weeks right. now has a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday gets compressed into a Monday, Tuesday. It's a lot to ask of guys that play and coach in this league to play the short week. But well, it's there. Okay. That's me. All right, now let's talk about the San Diego game rematch, redo, so to speak. September 30th, a loss at Arrowhead Stadium. But now a month later, this was the first game. Let's go to the mindset of Kansas City again. They had just beaten New Orleans in that great comeback. This was a chance to go to 2-2. I remember the feeling I had, the Chiefs Kingdom had. They were tweeting me back and forth that the Chiefs could go 2-2 and start to get on track. Six turnovers in this game. To me, if there's a microcosm of the season to this point, what were the first 15 minutes against San Diego?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you had the interception, and that happens right out the gate. Before you knew it in the first quarter, you were down, I believe, of 17-0. And you put it more eloquently in terms of how it was, but it was just shocking. I'm talking about it in the terms of the bully came in and they took your lunch pail and they took your lunch money and you couldn't get anything done. You have the interception, you have the fumble you see right here, and before you know it, again, I keep going back to it, but you're 17-0 and you're shell-shocked. You don't know what to think, quite honestly.
And again, there was high hopes coming into the game, and then to add injury and insult, a couple ex-Chiefs get scores like Jackie Battle. And then this one was really hurt, a pick six right before, look at the clock, right before the end of the half, 50 right. seconds from the two-minute warning, it gets to 27-6. Now, the Chiefs rally in this game. There was a 37-yard run as good as you'll find from Jamaal Charles, but still, this thing was doomed from the beginning. You get behind 17-0 in the first quarter of an NFL game, it's very, very difficult. Now, what do you do to rectify? You got the whole bully up, go after the bully, and get this figured out. This is Baldwin's best player of the year so far when he caught the slant from Matt Castles. The Chiefs tried to rally in this game. But to me, I think San Diego can be attacked. They have struggled on defensively in the back end with the exception of Waddle. The front seven, though, is an issue. It's been an issue against Tampa Bay in blocking them. It is an issue. It was an issue last week against Oakland. And really, the Chiefs had a hard time blocking the San Diego front seven on September the 30th.
Well, you're right. And the front seven for San Diego right now, rushing-wise, they're only giving up 80 yards a rush. So they do a good job. We've talked about it. They set the edge very well. Those backers are quick to come out. That's why you hope that the play-action fakes can make a difference. You asked, Mitch, what do you do? I think you draw on what positives you did see from the San Diego game. And what I saw was coming out the second half, moving down the field, scoring a touchdown, getting within 14. And the other thing that I thought was a positive was that entire third quarter, the defense forced San Diego into three and outs the entire quarter. Now, San Diego answered in the fourth with some points, but you've got to take what positives you saw and say, okay, those are things that we did well and things that we know we can do well. We just have to emulate that and do more of it.
There you look at the National Football League in rushing defense. And Kansas City behind there, but the plays of 20 yards or more is what jumps up. Now, Kansas City was not giving up the big running play in the first five games of the season, including the San Diego game the first time. That's been an issue now for 2 weeks as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers popped some big runs. We actually saw Ray Rice do it in the Baltimore game, but it really came up again the Oakland game. What do you do to stop the 20-plus run? But for the Chiefs to win this game Thursday night, That cannot happen.
Well, you're exactly right, and I think you need some more good play from some of the defensive linemen. Like we saw this week, some positives you saw this week, Rapati Patoa-Tui did a good job, I felt like. I mean, we talked about Derek Johnson and how good a job he did this week. Well, it was predicated by some of the defensive linemen taking up offensive linemen so he could run and do his job. I think that's the big thing, is the defensive line has to do their job so the linebackers can run and do what the 3-4 is designed to, let them run free and get to the run.
And here, well played against Phillip Rivers by Javier Arenas and the nickelback role. Phillip Rivers, we know, and he has struggled to only score 6 points. And we saw them had a big lead on Denver. That evaporated as the Broncos were able to overcome that big three touchdown deficit and come back to win. Flowers with this pick, trying to give Kansas City a lift. Now, I want to ask you, though, the running backs for San Diego. We look at a breakdown in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I've mentioned it before. I've studied Phillip Rivers a lot, watched a lot of tape on this guy. No one in the league, since he came into the league, has thrown to the backs more than Phillip Rivers. A lot of his passing yards in his past have been thrown to the backs. Look at this. This is the San Diego receiving stats. Ronnie Brown is a running back. Ryan Matthews is a running back. Brinkley and Battle are running backs. And you have to play the running back in the passing game. Let's be honest. Kansas City has struggled in this.
Right.
In covering running backs. Ronnie Brown got a big play against him in the game on September the 30th. If you're a defensive coordinator like Romeo Crennel and a defensive staff, what do you do to slow down San Diego's passing game and Rivers throwing to the Charger running backs?
Well, you've got to do everything you can to get those matchups to not occur or to occur as little as possible. When you look at it, Ronnie Brown had 3 catches for 50 yards. Jackie Battle had 4 catches for 42 yards. And then you go with it, Gates, who's the tight end, had 3 catches also for 59. Those were your leading receivers. So you've got to stop that part of the game. But when it comes down to it, you've got to put pressure on the queue. And if you put pressure on the QB, he can't get the ball out there. Now, sometimes you've got those quick screens to the right and the left, and you can't deal with those. But those aren't the kind of plays that I think hurt us. It's when the back gets across the line of scrimmage and he runs those crossing routes, and now you've got the linebacker chasing them. Those are the kind of things that I think you have to stay out of. And again, I just keep going back to it. You've got to put pressure on the QB, on Phillip Rivers, because he will throw you the ball 2 or 3 times. You're going to have a chance to get your hands on the ball 2 or 3 times. It's what you do with it after that.
And Justin Houston, maybe unleash him here a little bit. The other thing before we close, and that's another part of our Chiefs breakdown, to me it's imperative the Chiefs start this game fast. Start
right.
This game quickly. Start this game on a positive note. We've already seen the 17-0 deficit in the first meeting. But if you look at those first possessions, we looked at the turnovers in the San Diego game. What was overlooked in that was the fact that San Diego's first possession was a 76-yard drive for a touchdown. Kansas City's got to figure out a way, somehow, some way, on either side of the ball or special teams. What about the importance of getting a fast, positive start Thursday night?
Well, I'm sounding like a broke record, I know, Mitch, but you've got to avoid turnovers. But when you get out there, you've got to find a way to put 3 or 7 on the board early, get up, and make them play from behind. Again, I just said it. I'm going to say it again. I'm a broken record, but you've got to find a way to play from ahead, and you've got to cut the turnovers. You've got to stop the turnover margin being negative. -5, I mean, I'll tell you right now, I'm not breaking any news. If you play -5 ball again against them or anybody else, most likely you're going to lose the game. So you've got to play even or better, and especially on the road at San Diego.
And here you go, 12 lost fumbles for Kansas City this year, leading the league. The 13 picks, and again, the next closest team, 31st, are the Cowboys. We know how they've languished with 13 picks, being -11, that's 7 down. All right, we're going to end the show the way you started it. You said you got to take on the bully. So what you're saying is you seek the bully out. You go to the bully.
You knock him in the face. You don't care. You don't shave. You don't put makeup on. I'm not much to look at, but normally I put a little makeup on to ease you guys out there.
And you show him your lunch pail.
Absolutely.
You show him lunch.
Come get it.
Go.
Come get it.
Let's go, dog.
I'll knock you in the face.
Wow. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's do this. All right. Short week. Forget it. Chiefs, let's go 2-6.
Yes.
Let's beat the bully Bulls. How about that? For Kendall Gammon, I'm Mitch Holtis. Thanks for joining us.
I pull up to the game, and all I smell is barbecue. I see everybody with their jerseys on, just out tailgating. Everybody's yelling, honking their horns in their cars, offering me barbecue on the way before the game. I mean, everybody's just friendly. I mean, it's just a wonderful city to play football in, man. Our fans are good in the stadium and out of the stadium. They just treat everybody with respect, and you gotta love that. This city is built like a family. This is a great place to be, and I love it.